You're listening to Alaska HomeWise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. Save energy. Save money. Become HomeWise.
Hello and welcome to Alaska HomeWise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. I'm Ty Keltner. Today we're discussing something that is very pertinent to people around the Fairbanks area. A lot of people have been retrofitting their homes by putting insulation on the outside of their house. Now, this may seem like a great way to insulate your home, but there are some tricks and some special circumstances that go with it. You can't put foam on the outside of your house and expect a problem-free future. We'll discuss some problems and solutions with Ilya Benesch on today's program. Ilya, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
First, Ilya, tell me about this push to put insulation on the outside of the house. It's very popular right now. How did this all come about?
Well, in many cases, it does have some significant advantages, and that's sort of one of the biggest issues we're faced with is that you're getting heat losses through the framing. That's called thermal bridging. And so if you've just got a standard frame wall, whether it's 2x4 construction or 2x6 construction, those studs basically extend all the way through the wall. And in a cold climate, this isn't really a good thing. Wood has less insulating value than fiberglass insulation. For instance, wood stud has an R value of about 1.25 per inch. That's pretty low. For a 2x6 wall, then, this would give you an R value of about 7 where the stud is located. And if you were to take all the studs in the wall and then stack them side by side, you would end up with your wall being somewhere between 11 and 25% wood, depending on how it's built. So this can drop a wall with an R value of 21 fiberglass insulation down several points when you average in the less insulative value in the wood. So all that kind of stuff you have to factor in. One telltale sign that you're having heat losses through the framing in your house is that your studs will be outlined in black lines on the sheetrock on the inside. And this is what happens is when moist indoor air condenses on those cooler portions of the wall where the studs are located, air carries tiny little dirt particles, and so as that air condenses on that moisture and that air condenses on those studs, those little dirt particles get deposited there, and over time then you start creating this black line if conditions are right. So where does this lead us? Well, one way to stop the heat losses through the bridging is to add exterior foam. The nice thing about adding exterior foam is then you have a continuous layer of rigid foam insulation, very consistent, so you're basically creating this new sort of thermal envelope on the outside of the structure and really cutting down on heat losses through the bridging issue and also through air leakage, and we'll touch a little bit more on that later.
Now, I understand that there are some issues with retrofitting your home and adding all this insulation. So what are these risks that people may not realize?
Well, it can be a complex issue, and what works in one part of the state may be riskier in another. So I guess I'll try to choose my words carefully and try to find a comprehensive answer that takes sort of multiple factors into account. And so you'll have to bear with me. We'll give it a shot.
No problem. I'm bearing.
Well, for years, people in Fairbanks and other parts of the state have been putting various amounts of foam insulation on the exterior of their houses to basically insulate better, stop the bridging problem we talked about. And often it works very well, but sometimes it can really cause problems. And the issue at hand is that virtually all traditional cold climate construction requires a vapor barrier towards the warm side of the wall, so you're limiting condensation in the wall during wintertime. And if you add exterior foam, often this also acts as a vapor retarder to a varying degree, as the foam is also relatively impermeable. So what you're creating there is what we call a double vapor barrier. This means that should moisture find its way inside the wall, it may have a difficult time drying out if the outside of the wall doesn't breathe well enough, and so that's where that foam can really cut down on that. So the key to proper exterior insulation is to keep moisture from entering the wall, both from the inside and the outside. If you can't ensure that this won't happen, then you're kind of insulating at your own risk. And the moisture getting in from the outside problem is rainwater, really. If there's any chance that wind-driven rain can work its way behind that exterior foam, and this means more in a wet climate, then you'll need good overhangs, good water management, and if that doesn't work, you could get into some trouble. Another good option there is a good draining type of house wrap, which you would put on the house before putting on that foam and detailing the windows really well. I'd like to touch on the issue of water vapor entering the wall from the inside a little bit more, because that's actually something pretty specific to Fairbanks because we have such cold temperatures. The house should have a good vapor barrier on the interior wall and good humidity control through mechanical ventilation. The challenge in cold climates is that the colder it gets, the more aggressively heat and moisture in vapor form will try to escape from your house to reach an equilibrium with the outside. An extreme example of this would be to take a pot of boiling water and throw it out at 40 below, which is one of those activities that a lot of us have engaged in. And essentially what happens is that water immediately sort of evaporates, disappears. Most of it doesn't even hit the ground. And the physics inside the house work on a similar principle. The inside of the house is lined with a plastic vapor barrier, keeping that warm, moist air trapped and maintaining it inside. Well, what happens is areas with higher moisture vapor concentrations will always seek areas of lower moisture vapor concentrations, and the house is kind of a balloon, and so when you have too much humidity inside and too many holes in your balloon, then it can become possible for escaping air to condense inside the wall. If too much of this happens, then this leads to problems with mold and rot. All this sounds pretty scary, but the good news is that with good ventilation and educated homeowners, a lot of this can be kept well under control. Well, I guess that was the long story. Now for the shorter one. If you put exterior insulation on your house, it will get much tighter. That's kind of the bottom line. And this will likely lead to an increase to indoor humidity levels, and so ventilation may be necessary. A humidistat is one good way to go. They're pretty expensive. You can buy them at most home stores, and it will tell you pretty much on a daily basis what your relative humidity is at in that particular spot where you put the humidistat. Another good indicator is check your windows, and if you're seeing a lot of condensation on there, especially if it's a pretty good quality window like a double pane or a triple pane, and you see unusual amounts of water collecting there, that's a good sign you've got a humidity problem and you should probably work on maintaining that a little better.
So how much insulation is considered adequate for the Fairbanks area?
Well, unfortunately, it's probably more than a lot of the older houses have. So I'll start with sort of the prescriptive approach, and that's the current recommendations by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation is you need an R25 minimum exterior wall insulation in order to build a 5-star home. And what this means is that a 2x6 wall with fiberglass alone won't be enough, and that's why they made that recommendation, because they're trying to solve that heat losses through the thermal bridging problem. And so you have to make some performance upgrades. And this usually means adding more insulation to the inside or the outside of the wall. You can also go all the way up to an R40 wall, and we've seen that on modeling. If fuel prices get high enough, the closer we get to, say, $5 a gallon, you do find a good cost return less than 10 years on building a warmer wall if you can do it efficiently. There's one other thing I should mention, and since we touched on the fact that all cold climate construction, at least if it's done well, should have a vapor barrier by code, and you've got this condensation problem in the walls, you have to be careful with how much insulation you put on the warm side of your vapor barrier. And this is for the people that aren't insulating on the outside, but that are adding more insulation on the inside, say over their sheetrock. And you have to be careful on how much insulation you add to the inside of that wall, because of what will happen is you can cool that area right where the vapor barrier is off enough that you will start getting condensation inside the wall on the warm side. And so we have a rule of thumb in Alaska that we've used for years, and that is a 1/3, 2/3 rule, and that is you can put 1/3 of your total wall insulating value on the warm side and not be at risk for having condensation in the wall. So for an example, if you have a 2x6 wall, it will have about an R value of R21, fiberglass insulation, unless it's an older house, in which case it'll have R19. Those are pretty close. And so the most foam you could put on the inside of the wall would be an R value of 10, or roughly 2 inches. That gives you an overall R value of about 30, with 2/3 of that insulation as R21 on the cold side and R10 on the inside as rigid foam.
Now, you've mentioned rigid foam several times. What kinds of insulation could I put on the outside of my house? Are there many options?
Well, there's quite a few options, and most of the rigid foam insulations you can buy at the lumber yards will work quite well. There's the white foam, the EPS, blue and pink foams. Those are the typical colors you'll find for extruded polystyrene in Fairbanks. Those will work well. The foil-faced foams work really well, too. They generally have the highest R value. but keep in mind that that foil facer is virtually 100% impermeable to moisture. And so they do work successfully in Fairbanks, but if you put that on the outside of the house, it will be extremely tight. So you'll want to ensure that you have to have good ventilation.
We're going to take a break right here. We'll be right back with more information on exterior insulation. You're listening to Alaska HomeWise.